Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show, put the normal stuff on the front and the back, and when you get there, one of the things that you will find are almost 200 archives, soon to be over 200, and very soon to be maybe as many as 300 in another month or so, archives. These are audio archives. These are edited versions of visits that I've had with small business experts. You can go there. You can search by major category. You can search by keyword, by topic, by name, by date. And if you go to that site and you type in Hubbert, H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T, you will find 7 archives for our guest this hour, Bill Hubbert, the author of The New Battle of Workplace Privacy. I call him Mr. Excitement. He is our human resources expert. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back, Bill. And I'm looking forward to the audience folks being able to hear you and the things that you've had to say about hiring, firing, managing employees, job descriptions, employee policies, and all that sort of thing. A lot of different topics that we've talked about over the last couple of years.
And customer relations.
Exactly. That's what you got on your mind today, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What made you think about that?
Well, you know, I saw an article in the newspaper here. I'm in the Chicago area. And there was an article in the newspaper, and in fact, it made the 5 o'clock news and so on, and the essence of the article basically was customer pulls $90 million account out of area bank. And I won't identify specific names, although it was in the news and certainly could be identified. But the bottom line issue very basically was one of the local suburban villages was not getting good results. Good customer relations and good service and prompt response from the downtown Chicago bank that they were using for all of their financial accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It was their cash in and cash out and payables and receivables.
This was one of the townships.
Yes, uh-huh. It was. It's mm-hmm. a suburban village,
right.
And their pension plan and all of the accounts that go with running a village. And this was funds that were in the amount of $90 million. And their decision was, we're not satisfied with the results we're getting. We're going to pull our account. And, of course, that made the news, and it got me thinking that, boy, that must have woken a couple people up at that bank.
Well, the next day, some people woke up fired.
I think so. I would imagine. In fact, the subsequent news stories have indicated there's been a change in personnel there.
I promise you.
In part relating to some other issues, but maybe it kind of points to this whole area of customer service and customer relations.
Well, what did they do to make this township so unhappy?
Well, according to the news stories, and of course everything I got from this was based out of the news, but the bottom line basically was the village contacts to the bank, they couldn't reach the person that they needed when they needed to deal with that person.
Wow.
There's a lot of voicemail lists
and
messages about that and not prompt response back. And they just felt that they weren't getting the level of service that that they needed to accomplish their day-to-day business activities at the village.
How do you take a $90 million customer? I don't care if you're Daimler Chrysler. I don't care if you're AT&T. How can anybody take for granted a $90 million customer?
Apparently this is what was happening.
That's almost criminal.
To me, it's unbelievable.
I can't comprehend it.
An individual or individuals, and I'm sure ultimately there's some one person in that organization who is accountable for how these activities are served, and to allow this kind of service to occur like this and just be so above it all or whatever. Oh, gee, we're so important, we don't have to get back to this one right away.
Yeah.
Well, we add up all the effect of that, and here's one major account, and, of course, that kind of news coverage about your organization.
Oh, yeah, this, This has cost them a lot more than $90 million.
Exactly. It's going to make a lot of other customers think twice if they were considering that organization. And others that have been working with it are probably thinking, yeah, nobody answers my phone calls either.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I got to try three different times, or I had this emergency and I couldn't get through. And maybe I should start shopping around.
Now, here's the question for all of us, Bill. Is it possible that there's anyone out there in our marketplace, any customer or prospect, who might have a right to say, I called that company, my company, your company, and no one got back to me, or I didn't get the proper response that I should have?
Well, we would hope not, but I'm sure that
the message here is, let's all stop and ask ourselves that question.
Exactly. How do you take care of your customers? And that's kind of what my thought process was, as I read this article, and I thought, well, I've got, I do my column in my local newspaper, the King County Chronicle, in the area that I'm in, and then we discussed that issue, on the program here, and I was thinking, well, here's a great topic. How do you deal with your customers? And actually, coming out of this issue, I had an incident with one of my accounts, and I thought, I want to bend over backwards for this guy, and I want to do this, and I'm going to do that, and a little extra something, and a little something that in times past I might have thought, well, gee, this should be billable activity, or I might have made a bigger stink about something, but I thought, no, I'm going to take care of this customer. And the net effect, very literally, was it came back very positive. I gave this customer something a little extra, and I sent him a note. I'm very concerned, and I value his business very highly, and here's a little something extra that we're doing for you because we value your business.
Mm-hmm.
And provided that service, and lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, I got a call back, and I was kind of surprised, but a very nice thank you message.
I'll be darned. And what you did for him probably was not all that significant on your end.
It turned out not to be.
Yeah. All right, stand by, Bill. We're going to take a break. Folks, we'll come back. We're going to talk about some things that you can do to make sure that you don't lose a $90 million account. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Bill Hubbard. Give us a call if you'd like to join us, 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassing, Small Business Advocate. Bill Hubbard is our guest. Bill is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. It's an outstanding book, folks. This is a significant and must-have resource document for you. If you have any employees at all, you need this book to help you manage them successfully, not just to keep you happy, but to keep them happy and to keep your customers happy, which is the exact point of our discussion this hour, right, Bill?
Yes, it is.
Making sure that you have done the things that you need to do in your organization so that you and especially your customers your employees who see customers many times when you aren't anywhere around.
This is true. You know,
they're answering the phone, they're sending emails, or maybe they're not answering the phone. That's kind of what happened to this bank situation that Bill was talking about.
That's very critical.
Yeah.
What do they say? One customer, one pleasant, pleased customer will tell a friend, and you might get a referral. But if you have one person who walks away unhappy and unsatisfied, they're probably going to complain to five different friends.
See, I disagree with what the last thing you said.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll tell five. I think they'll tell 100.
Well, that could be.
'Cause let me tell you why I say that.
Yeah.
If you're happy, you expect to be happy. That is your default position in life.
Right.
You expect to be happy, and if I make you happy, then all you've done is just give me what I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make me unhappy, I don't deserve that. I deserve better, and I'm not a bit happy about that, and now I've got my righteous indignation up, and you know what? I can't wait to tell everybody about how unhappy you made me because you took... You violated my civil rights, so to speak.
Well,
that's the attitude that people get about being getting poor customer service. And that's the reason I say that it takes much more than five to get that righteous indignation out of their system.
That's true.
And you know what else? That is the if you do a good job for someone, 6 months from now, they may or may not tell somebody about you, but it'll have to come up in a conversation. Probably for them to give you a referral.
Right.
I need so-and-so. Well, hey, you ought to call these people, they did a pretty good job for me, even though maybe you bent over backwards. But 5 years from now, how many times have you ever heard someone say, tell you a horror story about a company years later?
Yeah, you're right.
They keep those stories. They love them. You cannot, folks, you cannot afford bad PR. It will kill you.
It's amazing the difference in those kind of issues, how that carries.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I want to plug in here pretty quickly, we've got several things that we're going to talk about to help people to avoid these kinds of problems with customers. But technology, Bill, is a wonderful thing. You and I use it. We've been talking about our websites and, mm-hmm. and how they've benefited us and other people. And technology is a wonderful thing. You've got a cell phone. You've got a beeper. You've got you got a computer, a website, on and on and on. Email, voicemail, fax machines. But technology can cost you customers too, can it?
It really adds a barrier in many respects between you and the customer. Because I can't think of, there's so many places that I call, and I end up in some kind of a voicemail recorded receptionist.
It's called voicemail hell.
And that's about it. And then it says, push this button for this and push this button for that. And then maybe if I'm lucky, after the end of a five-minute message, it'll say, and by the way, you can push zero to get the operator. And by that time, I'm thinking, boy, I've wasted 5 minutes here. I could have been doing something else.
That's exactly right.
And then half the time I push for the operator, and I get another message.
Yeah.
And well, so-and-so is busy at the moment. Leave your name and number. And I'm thinking, I need to talk to a person. I've got an important problem. I want to talk to a person.
I do not understand. Bankers, if you're listening, those of you who are listening, I do not understand how I don't understand how any organization that has customers calling in, prospects calling in, can have that kind of a system. I'm sorry about the people who sell these things. I just think your system is not made for people who have customers calling in, Bill, because, I mean, this doesn't make any sense. You spend all this money to get somebody to call you, and then you don't take their call.
That's a good point. That hits it right.
Think
right
about
below
it.
The belt.
Yeah. Well, hey, let me tell you, you were talking about the voicemail hell. Let me give you two examples. I've recently called a bank, and the first thing they asked me for was my Social Security number. Guess what? I don't even do business with that bank. I was calling to talk to a person who worked there.
Yeah.
That was one thing. The second bank I called, and that was recently, I called this bank, I never was able to get to a person. I pushed zero, and it took me to the receptionist voicemail.
Yeah.
I never was able, and I called, I finally got a hold of the president, and I said, do you realize that if I wanted to talk to you, but I didn't know your name, that I would not be able to get through to you, and he didn't know that.
That's the case.
That's amazing. Stand by, Bill. We've got to take a break. Folks, we'll be right back with Bill Hubbard. I'm Jim Glass again, the Small Business Advocate. Have you got any horror stories, any voicemail hell stories? 888-822-2222. We are back. It is 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Glassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for your business. I appreciate it. And you're listening to the show that's dedicated to providing small business owners with a maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the individuals who helps us do that is Bill Hubbard, who's our guest this hour. He's the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. He's the president of Hubbard and Associates. Bill, tell us how we can contact you.
Good morning. You can get information on me or my books, the privacy book or some of the other ones that I've done at my website, www.hubbard.com. That's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T. And I'm in the phone book as well. I'm in the St. Charles, Illinois area. Phone number there, 630-513-9494.
Yeah, and we just picked up a station not very far from you.
Great.
WLTH in beautiful Gary, Indiana, 1370. Edward Sanchez and all the folks over there do a great job, and we're glad to have them with us. So that's not too far from you.
No.
Bill, one of the most important things I think that we have to do is for the owners of the companies, the management, to set a good example. And I know that you point that out in your article. When I was in the military as a follower and as a leader, mm-hmm. I found that the private's attitude, it didn't take very long for the private's attitude to pretty much mirror the commander's attitude.
Yeah. And I've seen that in every company that I go into.
Yeah.
You know, the consultants, yeah. I'm in a lot of companies.
If the president of the company is really a hardcore, staunch customer service advocate, then the receptionist and the delivery person, the courier, the clerk is.
Exactly.
If they're not, if they're arrogant, if they're aloof, then everybody else is.
That's the point exactly. The example that you set in your dealings with your customers, the employees see that, and they're going to mirror and they're going to reflect that.
And see, I think, Bill, that there are people who own companies who've worked hard and they've really done a good job, and they built a company through customer service,
mm-hmm.
and now they've had quite a bit of success, and they're sort of kind of filled with a little bit with their own self-importance, and they've sort of changed a little bit. Have you seen this happen?
I've run across that on various occasions.
But they think their organization is still the same organization that built them up to where they are right now.
Right.
And that's not what happens, because people watch them.
Really,
they see them being aloof.
Exactly. We've got to remember it's the customer. That's our bread and butter, and we've got to make them feel special.
The companies that I see who are highly successful, are the ones where no matter how successful and how rich the owner becomes, that person, I know companies that the person I just got through talking about, they have a sales counter, and if that sales counter is unmanned for any reason, that owner goes out and works that counter.
That's a good point.
You can get that owner of that company to wait on you if you walk up at a certain time.
And that's a key message to employees.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they get to see that. They get to see that service level. And they see that, hey, the boss isn't above getting in here in the trenches with the rest of us.
What are some things that we need to be training our employees concerning?
That's really the key, is to convey this thought down to the employees. And a key area, one of the key things that I find is very important, is in training the employee on how to do their job properly. There's been so many times I've been through some sort of, typically it's a retail environment or some kind of public service environment, but you're going in there and you've got a brand new employee and they're fumbling about this and they're fumbling with that, and they don't know that this procedure and they don't know that procedure. And they're saying, well, I'm new on the job. And, you know, you try to be patient, but sometimes you're there to transact a business, and then you've got other things to do. And it's frustrating when the employee has not been properly trained.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the key issues. Where there's equipment, likewise, where there's equipment that they're using, it's important that the employee knows how to use that equipment.
A cash register, for example.
Exactly. Well, gee, there's a red stripe coming through the paper here. Now I got to change the paper, and they fumble with that for 25 minutes as the line gets long, and you're stuck right there. In the meantime, four or five people at the end of the line jump over to the next line, and they're walking out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, well, gee whiz, why didn't they show this person how to do this right?
Well, you know, as a customer in a situation like that, if I see someone is learning, if they're training, and I see that they're trying hard, and especially if I see that there's a manager, there nearby helping them, you know, I actually kind of take a little bit of a deep breath and sort of empathize with them a little bit.
That's true.
But if it goes too far, if it gets out of hand, and it can, because, as you say, if they haven't done a good job of training, then I get a little irritated.
And with the example that you give, if the manager's there supervising, then it's the training is being done properly.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see that person out there on your own, and you're there to get something done, and they can't get any help, and they can't take care of it, it just is a very frustrating situation. And you're thinking, gee, I don't know if I want to come back here again, because it doesn't look like they train their employees properly.
Right, yeah.
Another key area that's good is to make sure that employees have an awareness of how to deal with customers. Give them some good basic customer relations training.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with an angry customer? Give some advice and direction to employees so that they can deal with that properly. Because in a couple of occasions I've seen where an employee reacts just as angrily as the customer does.
Yeah.
And that's no way to convey a positive image about the organization. That customer relations person has to be much more responsive and much more caring, and demonstrate some empathy and take care of the customer's needs.
You never win if you get angry. As the person waiting on the customer, you never win if you get angry. Because you may lose you may win the battle, but you will lose the customer. Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We are back. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. Bill Hubbard. William S. Hubbard is our guest. He's our good friend and a member of our Brain Trust, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, How Far Can Management Go, What Rights Do Employees Have. You need to check this book out, folks. It's a watershed book, especially in my opinion, in terms of small business employee management. And, Bill, again, as I've done many times, I want to congratulate you and thank you for making this book available.
Thank you.
Bill, John tells me we have a call. Who we got, John?
Jim, we've got Paul. He's on his car phone in Bethesda, Maryland.
Hi, Paul. Are you
Hello?
There, Paul? Hi there.
Yes.
Say hello.
I'm a member of Juno Mail, and on the screen they flashed some time ago that I could use their Juno web, and I subscribed to that. They got my card number and everything, and they said that they are going to give me, send to me the information on how to use and some software. I never got that software, and all of a sudden I see a bill in my credit card. Oh, I called them, and they said, oh, no, this is our policy. We subscribe, you subscribe, and we are giving you the service. So it doesn't matter whether you receive the software or not. You have to pay for it. And they charged me for 2 months, and it was hard to get hold of anybody there except that customer service. I said, I would like to talk to the president. And they said, no, you cannot talk to him. Just send him the email. So I sent the email to the president. He never replied. Some of his subordinates replied, and they said, oh, this is an accounting policy, and we cannot do anything about that.
So you actually signed up for a service because of a merchandise that they were offering, but
yes.
What they really wanted was just you to pay for the service, and they never sent you the product.
That is correct.
And so now now that you didn't get the product, which is what you really wanted, now they're billing you for the service, and which you didn't really want, and you can't get your money back.
That is correct.
And nobody will talk to you.
No, nobody does. The customer service talked to me, and they said, oh, this is our policy that once you subscribe, it doesn't matter whether you got the software or not, you have to pay for it.
Better Business Bureau. What do you think, Bill?
Sounds good to me. If that don't work, the state attorney's office.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say.
Okay.
Paul, call the Better Business Bureau in your area, and
okay. And
let them hook up with the people in that area. Is that company in your area?
It is Juno Mail, Juno Web.
Oh yeah, yeah. Check with Better Business Bureau, and then check with the Attorney General in your state.
I'd also suggest sending them a letter saying cancel the service. I don't want it anymore. I didn't get what I expected.
Yeah, of course I got that. They canceled the service, but they still charged me for 2 months.
Tell them you want your money back. You weren't happy with the service.
Yes. That is correct. I did tell them that too, but that they said this is our accounting policy and we cannot refund the money.
Give all that information to the Better Business Bureau.
Okay.
And that'll annoy them enough to do something about it. And see, Paul, you're doing exactly what we said earlier. How many people do you think you'll tell about this and mention that company's name?
I have talked to a few friends, but not everybody.
But you'll be you're telling a lot of people around the world right now. You know, you're upset about this enough that you made a phone call to a radio station, and there are people listening all over the world to this show.
Okay, I hope they are listening too.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's an example of how, that's the righteous indignation that I was talking about earlier. Paula, are you listening to WMET out of Gaithersburg?
Yes.
Yeah, WMET, they do a great job over there. I appreciate that.
You're right.
Paul, what can we do? Can we do anything to help you?
No, well, if this is the only thing that I just want my money back for 2 months, that's all.
Well, follow up on that with Better Business Bureau, and let me know what you find out about that.
Jim?
Okay, I will.
If you did that through a charge card, tell your charge people that you contest that charge.
Yeah. John,
but it doesn't make much difference because they're going to talk to the people over there at Juno Web. And Juno Web is going to say, no, this is our policy.
Their policy needs to make their customer happy, or what used to be, who used to be their customer. My producer, John Lee, wants to weigh in. What do you got, John?
Jim, I was just going to make the same comment that Bill made. I know in the past I've had the same problem, and what I've done is if you send a letter to your credit card company, okay, there should be an address on your statement, and it probably under a section called disputes. If you send them a letter detailing the situation, they won't charge you, and once they've done their research, if they agree that you shouldn't have been charged, they'll just drop it right off your credit card.
Okay. I'll do that too.
How does that help, Paul?
Yeah, that will help. I'll write to both the Better Business Bureau and as well as the credit card company.
Paul, are you a small business owner?
No, my son is.
He is. What does he do?
He has this web pages. He designs those.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's a web designer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Web designer, but they also provide a lot of information. I don't know whether you have heard of this govcon.com.
Yeah.
He's the one who designed that.
Well, good for him. You encourage
that.
You encourage.
They provide service to the small small contractors for government.
Paul, you encourage him and tell him to listen to us and tell him he's my hero.
Okay, thanks,
sir. Paul. Take care of yourself.
Thanks
for calling. Bye-bye. All right, Bill, I know you've got a go early today.
Yes, I do.
And I think we got, I'm glad Paul helped us get that information out. And the main thing I know you want to get across is train your employees.
That's the bottom line.
To do a good job, because they're the people who touch your customers, aren't they?
Exactly. They're the ones that are out there. They're making that impression. If you train them right, and I know a lot of times there's a concern about, gee, it costs money to do training, but it's going to cost you a lot more if you don't train them.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill, thank you very much. Good job. We'll see you next month.
Glad to be here.
Have a good one. Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm going to wrap up the hour by myself, unless you want to call 888-822.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.